Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 20. It's Monday, September 19, 2016. I am Nard.
And I'm the Ray.
Yes, it's the Ray. He is fabulous today.
Fabulous.
That's right. And this show is all about talking about gay topics, geek, and geek stories, and bizarre shit. Okay, so I hope you guys enjoy the show. All right, so before we move on, I'd like to greet some happy birthdays here. It's actually our very own Caesar. It was his birthday
a couple of days ago. Caesar or Caesar?
I think it's Caesar or Caesar. Caesar. Or probably Caesar. I've always called him Caesar.
Or if you're from the South, can I have some Caesar dressing for diet? Some Caesar.
So, I have a friend whose name is Caesar also, but we would call him Cesar.
So, yeah. Caesar.
So, yeah, happy birthday, Caesar. And also, Eric from Chicago, happy birthday. It's his birthday today. Today is actually Talk Like a Pirate Day.
I didn't see anything posted on Facebook like Talk About a Pirate Day.
It's always been September 19.
Maybe nothing was posted today. Apparently, nobody wants to be pirates anymore.
I know. Nobody knew about it. It's pretty pathetic. But then, yeah, it's a Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Zombies are in.
Okay, Ray, so last weekend, I can't talk like a pirate.
No, you cannot.
No, I can't. No, I can't even do Southern. Okay, so yeah, congratulations to Casey and Chris for their new house, and they had a housewarming party last Saturday, and we went to their house, and it's pretty awesome. I like it. I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to swim, though, because I had to go to another party after that. So
they had children in the pool.
They had children in the pool? Yeah.
So I stayed away from the pool.
Why?
Don't need no children.
Why? No children in the pool?
It's all that splashing and screaming and yelling. And that's just Casey. We ain't even talking about the children yet.
Okay. I see that. So. Well, it was a pretty busy weekend of parties.
Yeah. Maynard took me out Friday night for Mexican and got me
drunk. That's right. We met up with Dave and Jason. We went to Mexican.
From Under Bears podcast.
That's right. So, how many drinks did you have? Two?
Two. He bought me these two really big, very strong margaritas.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, here, drink them. No, here, let me get you another one. After I got rid of it, I was like, man, I didn't even eat yet. No, I'll
and
take it.
And the second one, he was actually waiting. He was just kind of, you know, twiddling his thumbs because they haven't delivered the second one yet. And, it's here at last. Oh, my God. That was a nice restaurant here in, it's Houston. It's a part of Houston. It's very far north of Houston. But Ray got to drink a lot. And I drove because, you know, I'm the designated drunk driver. No, I'm kidding. I didn't drink at all. I came home
and went to bed. So I fell asleep. Yeah, until somebody got here and was trying to wake me up and I wasn't having any of it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's right. So, the young kid came over.
That's right. They were trying to take advantage of me. And I was like, Valhalla's closed even when I'm drunk.
Valhalla's closed.
It's a lot.
But yeah, were you really drunk Friday night?
Yes, I was.
Oh, you were? Okay. I was actually a little drunk.
Did you not see me come home and stagger up the stairs?
No, I didn't.
I think I half-assed brushed my teeth, and then I got in bed, and then I was just like, okay, kid will be here in a little bit, okay. And then I think he woke me up when he came in the room, and then I was like, huh, who, what?
Ah, that's what happened. Actually, I was the same. I was also drunk because
last
night. No. It's a Saturday at the pool party because remember they served punch? They already spiked it. And then I have alcohol from my bag and I spiked it. So I kind of double spiked mine. So it was hard to recover from that. But it was okay. Anyway, so we have some stories for you guys. And this is from our Facebook page, facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. Okay, Ray, let's go to this dude.
All right. This dude wants to start his own country for gay people. No heteros allowed.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. We need a cultural and political center where we can develop new, better ways of gay living that are more suited to our nature. LGBTQ activist Victor Zimmerman tells Vice in a new interview. That's why it's proposing a new country exclusively for gay people. No heteros allowed. Okay. Maybe some heteros can live there. But Zimmerman says their numbers would be limited and they will not be in charge. Maybe the heteros that can come are all the closeted gay men and their families. They can bring their wives over and work and then get it up the butt and then go home to their wives.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's worked out perfect for them.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. Anyway, bringing gay people together in a creative and affirmative environment will release a tremendous energy, he proclaims. Thousands of gay artists, writers, sculptors, filmmakers, and songwriters will be brought together in one spot. And drama will ensue. No, that was
my Oh, concern. Yeah, definitely.
There would be no more cultural oppression from the hetero. All public spaces would be decorated with gay artwork. Mm-hmm. So there'll be well-hung statues everywhere.
Yes.
Zimmerman adds to his new gay city state will also provide a safe haven for millions of gay people who are currently living in dangerous circumstances. Our purpose is to establish a free, independent, and democratic gay state, he says. We strive to initiate one or more self-administered settlements for gay people and look to promote their economic, cultural, and political development. And where will this all-gay country be located? Zimmerman isn't sure yet, but he says it should be somewhere where there's sufficiently cheap and habitable and land available in a warm climate by the seaside. Why has it got to be by the sea? All of us gays don't like the sea.
Not everyone.
He's thinking maybe someplace in South America would be nice. Yeah, they're very, very gay-friendly. Mm-hmm. Or a friendly Buddhist country in Southeast Asia. Yeah, that gets, yeah, okay. Well, I think really we should petition for New York City and or San Francisco and have a city state like we did back in the old days. Like
during the Harvey Milk days?
No, like Athens and Greece.
Oh, that kind. Okay.
You know, that's Troy. So
okay.
And we can have like a city state of bottoms and a city state of tops, and they can have Olympic games, and we can battle each other each year for dominance.
And then whoever wins is the bottom.
I guess so. So anyway. He continues, the next step would be in taking a long-time lease on a modern-sized territory from an existing country. The territory would be used to establish a settlement on conditions of
extraterritoriality.
Legally, we still remain the tariff for the host country, but we would administrate it according to our own laws.
Oh, my God. From scratch?
I'm sure some countries are going to allow that. And as for keeping the population from dying off, Zimmerman says immigration will be key. We know how gay babies are made. There are millions that have been born in this world year by year without any effort on our side, he explains. All we need is for a fraction of them to pack their stuff together and move to the gay state. Zimmerman is convinced that enough LGBTQ people sign on to his project, they can actually make it happen, like for real. Legally, the foundation of gay state is viable, he says. There have been precedents for the establishment of new states via treaties, just as the creation of the Vatican State, and there have been multiple legal precedents for the peaceful acquisition of land. There have also been precedents for international recognition of non-territorial sovereign entities, such as the Order of Malta. We are confident that one day gay people will have a territorial control over a sovereign territory. Gay super city plan, and I found some other articles talking about gay cities. Mm-hmm. There's a gay super city plan for the California desert. Almost a dozen architecture firms have created designs for a proposed gay-centric pedestrian family community for not far from Palm Springs, California. Well, that was back in 2011, and that still hasn't happened.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
So, and if the gays can't go out and make a new settlement in the desert like they did at Palm Springs that's affordable, then I don't know how that's going to happen.
You know, I don't think it's a good idea at all.
Well, I don't know.
No, it feels like it's very heterophobic this time.
Well,
you know?
It does sound heterophobic. So, yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to have like a homeland to go to. Maybe we can just take over Nova Scotia.
Canada?
Yeah.
Nova Scotia, there's no one there? Is that what it is?
Well, that's low population. I don't think Canada would really miss it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think if we talk to the
How about Newfoundland? Newfoundland.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Newfoundland or Iceland or Greenland, one of those.
No. Newfoundland is Canada. It's the easternmost of Canada.
Oh, I was thinking New Zealand. Never
yeah. Mind. Newfoundland. Newfoundland. So Newfoundland is...
But I think it's a little too far north. But the pictures I've seen in Nova Scotia are quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. They actually have seasons. So,
well, yeah, I mean,
I don't know how this democratic society goes to work because you know everybody wants to be the queen. So,
but how about repairmen? Because gay people, you know, they just
there are gay
they call.
Well, that's what the lesbians are there for.
Oh yeah, I got you. Okay, they'll so, be the. Oh
God, you get a, so it gives a whole new meaning to plumber crack.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, all right.
But also recently, and if anybody sees this, if they'll send me the link to it, I saw a short documentary that was posted on Facebook that I watched one day. It was like 10 or 15 minutes long. It was talking about when all the anti-gay rhetoric started back in the 70s in California. This gay group started this marketing campaign to make this one county in like East California somewhere the gay place to go.
Did it work back then?
Well, no. It was all this marketing hoopla, and then the county commissioners tried to come in and do some zoning stuff to protect the county from being taken over because they thought because the religious right was sitting there at that county giving out flyers telling that the gays are moving in mass and all this kind of stuff. It was a very interesting documentary.
I should watch that.
But there was like maybe 40 or 50 people that moved there due to this. And then nothing ever happened.
Oh, nothing. It didn't follow through.
Now it's still just a quiet little
town. Do you think you still live there?
I assume so. I remember, I thought it was an interesting article, and I meant to share it, and then I got interrupted and forgot to share it. So
maybe we should go there.
If anybody sees that article, but it's very, I want to say like Reddington, California or something like that. I don't forget where it was. But it was what this whole marketing ploy, because that was back in the 70s when everybody was fighting for equal rights and California was very homophobic and Harvey Milk was in full swing. That's
in San Francisco.
San Francisco, but
specific to San Francisco.
Where stuff was going on there, and then the rest of the state was fighting it and everything else. So, mm-hmm. But it was a very interesting little tidbit about that, about how the marketing went, and it was a ploy to get people to change their boating habits or something, but it was a very interesting article. So, and that didn't work out. So,
having your own gay country, interesting.
You know, P-Town's kind of like a gay country during the summer.
That's true. I have Fire Island. Rhode Island?
Fire Island.
Oh, Fire Island. You know, I want to go there once. I've never been to Fire Island.
We're not A-list gays.
You have to be an A-list gay to go to Fire Island?
You have to be like a platinum black Onyx card carrying gay to go to Fire Island, I think.
God, really?
You have to know somebody that lives at Fire Island to go to Fire Island.
Oh, there are no hotels there?
No.
Are Airbnb their houses? No, they don't? Oh, that sucks. But anyway, I'd like to go on a weekday, probably just a day trip, maybe. I don't have to stay there. I'm sure there are ferries to go there or something.
Oh, there's a lot of ferries over there.
Oh, lots of ferries there. Your own country. What do you guys think? Having your own gay country. And like I said, Ray, I do not agree with it because there are, we have to, gay people have to mix and assimilate or to mingle with their heterosexual partners, counterparts, not partners, counterparts. Yeah. Because, no man's an island. Yeah. I mean, do you think straight people can live without gay people? Actually, no. Those clothes they're wearing, they're designed by, they're probably designed by
gay people. Well, it could be the fashion and cultural mecca of the world. I mean, it could become like that.
And that's true. But then, I don't know, do we have the right political will to make it really
sovereign? Well, I think we're missing the one main element to make it all happen.
Money.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, lots of gay people have a lot of money.
Well, they have money, but getting that money to make it so it counts. I mean, it's not like we're Dubai and can just start building our own islands. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not that kind of money, and I think that's the kind of money it's going to take for that to happen.
But, when the workers come and go there, and build it, will the workers be also gay?
I don't know.
Will it be really self-sustaining?
Well, we'll have to let the straights in to do all the construction work, and then we'll have to send them out. Then we'll have to build a wall afterward to keep them out.
Oh, that's right.
Because it'll be so fabulous.
Okay, let's talk about Prep Ray. In the show, in our previous podcast called The Bear Podcast, we used to we talk about prep a lot, and we had some guests, even Julio joined us before, and some people from Legacy Houston. Not, it's not legacy.org. It's not. It's, hold on. Legacy Houston. Legacy Houston. Legacy Community Health.org,
org,
right?
Yeah.
You just don't say legacy.org.
No, they'd figure that out.
Legacy Community Health.org. We had them in the show. So the topic here is that, it's there's actually a website now that that's being advertised right now. So by HIV Plus Mag, so the interactive national prep provider directory through Emory University and MAC AIDS Fund is live. It's now available. So researchers from the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory University unveiled a new website, and it's www.preplocator.org. That will allow users to locate a medical provider or clinic that can prescribe pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, to prevent HIV infection. If taken daily, PrEP helps prevent the transmission of HIV. The website will be introduced at the 20th annual U.S. Conference on AIDS taking place in Hollywood, Florida. Is it Florida?
Yep. I think this article's from end of last week. So.
Oh, yeah. According to Damon L. Jacobs, who founded the Facebook group PrEP Facts, Rethinking HIV Prevention and Sex, we have been doing this on a grassroots, peer-to-peer level since July 1st, 2013. The creators of this database used a lot of these conversations to find providers. New providers can easily be added to the database, and information for existing providers can be corrected by clicking on the provider and clicking on the link to update provider info. Corrections, additions will go, or additions will go into the holding pen for Emory staff to verify and update as appropriate. So PrEP has the potential to substantially reduce the number of new HIV infections in the United States, but only if people know how and where to get it. And this is what the website is for. So research assistant professor, Aaron Siegler, PhD. He's a research assistant professor in the Department of Epidemiology at Emory University, Rollins School of Public Health. He said that, importantly, the tool features a search function that allows users to search for PrEP providers who would prescribe to individuals without insurance. So this is great news. People, young guys, even older guys who want to be in PrEP can just go to www.preplocator.org, and probably they would accept insurance, and you can try it out. I mean, it doesn't hurt. I mean, also, it really, it's to protect yourself. It's always good.
What I'm glad is that a Southern college has taken lead on this, because Emory's located in Atlanta, Georgia. So
you're too far. Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that happen.
Yeah, and it's gonna be a lot of support in this one, which is great, because some people don't realize that they do need PrEP. And there was a party I went to before, and they're all PrEP users, and they were even taking the pill right in front of everyone. You know, hey, by the way, oh, I forgot, I have to take my pill. It's my time of the day to take the pill. So he took out the blue pill and then take it in.
Was it the big, thick blue pill or the little?
It was a big, thick blue pill.
Oh, not the little blue pill.
Was it? Oh, it's. I know what you mean, but it's not. We're talking about PrEP here. Okay.
Well, it sounds like you're at a sex party, so I'm sure both blue pills were being used.
No, it's not.
Slut.
No, it was just a party. Okay, let's go to the geek, Ray.
I'm doing the second one on geek. You get to do the first
one. All right. The geek one is very interesting because it involves people who use Google a lot. And I do use Google, and I know Ray uses Google once in a while. How do you use your maps? You use Google Maps or Apple Maps?
Ray? I use Google Maps because Apple Maps are worthless.
Okay, that's right. But anyway, so this is kind of connected to Google or Google Maps. It's more like it's a product by Google. So Google Trips. It's a killer travel app for the modern tourist. So this is an article from The Verge. Google today announced Trips, a new... It's not Tricks, right? It's Trips.
That's the other Google app coming out. Trips.
A new app that serves as a trip planner and travel guide for anyone who is exploring a new place. The free app, which is available on Android and iOS, will organize your plane tickets and hotel reservations, offer editorial guides to more than 200 cities, and make personalized recommendations based on your Google history. So they're mining you. They're mining your data. Best of all, it works offline. You can download everything to your phone before you leave, including maps and walking directions, sparing you from having to use an expensive international data plan. Trips is the culmination of more than 2 years of work on improving Google's travel products, said Richard Holden, a vice president of product management of the company, in an interview. In recent months, Google introduced Destinations, a travel planning feature inside mobile search, and revamped its hotel and flight search features. So now it's trips.
I had some of that stuff pulled up today when I was looking for travel information, and it's like prompting me to put it in through Google, and then it went out and hit all these other places. So,
oh yeah, I mean that's how they mine your search and then target you, and then they'll find. I think it's going to be useful for me. Well, you're going to be traveling soon for, well, Thanksgiving, right? You don't know
yet. Yeah, well, that's just driving.
Still, it's driving. Then you will be, that's what the trip is going to do. It's going to show you things on the way.
I guess it's
going to show you, since you're on your way here, you might as well check this out. You might want to eat here, or if you have a foodie driving mate, then he might probably want to eat somewhere nice on the way, right? Mm. So, you know, tourist attractions and stuff like that. So, that would be interesting. So, I don't know. I'll probably download it. I don't know. The next time I fly. Because next time I'll be in Maine, probably try it out. It says it does handle your flights. So, if you have United, I guess you just enter your flight details.
Maybe if you order it through the app, it just keeps it all.
Order it through the app?
Like book everything through the app.
I guess you can do that. Yeah, it does have. It will probably give those suggestions and probably link you to United or link you to Delta or wherever. So. Okay, Ray.
All right, part two. Next. This is a little geeky one for me because I'm a big fan of the Magicians on the Sci-Fi channel. Well, Sci-Fi just released an uncensored version of the Magicians. Starting today and going through December, we can finally see the Magicians the way it was meant to be seen, uncensored. Given that the show takes place at a university, it makes sense that the characters would use language a bit saltier than normal, seen on non-premium channels. More than that, it seems like the specific group of magic college students the show focuses on should be cursing a lot more than they currently do.
So it's like Hogwarts. It's just like Harry Potter and something
like that.
And it's like a university, but then the old cuss.
No, nothing like that. But nothing like Harry Potter at all.
Oh, okay.
On Sci-Fi.com, the Sci-Fi app on demand, and the now profanity-filled first season of The Magicians is available right now. I ain't too worried about the profanity. I want to see the less clothing optional because there's a lot of sex on there. There's an orgy, Roman orgy that happens. You've got until early December to catch it, and you really should. The show is... it's much darker than you expect, and it's one of sci-fi's best show in years. So, and it is a very good show, so I highly recommend it. If you haven't watched it, go check it on demand so you can hear all the cussing. So,
it's kind of weird that somebody would actually... I'm going to watch that show because there's a lot of cussing.
Well, no, but I mean, you could also... But in the show, they cut a lot of it out, and it was very noticeable. Okay. Because I think whoever filmed the show... Well, like another sci-fi show, Bitten, it's the Canadian show. Mm-hmm. And it was showed in Canada, and then Sci-Fi also aired it here. But when it was aired here, all the naked scenes were cut out, and there's a lot of nude scenes in it, apparently.
That's so lame.
If you go watch it on Netflix now that it's been released on Netflix, all the nude scenes are back in. Whereas on Sci-Fi, cut out. And I don't understand why Sci-Fi does that. They're a pay channel, so it's not like they can't do certain stuff. And I don't understand why they've always taken this super family-friendly thing that they've always done.
That is weird. I mean, if you're paying for it, but they do that already with Sense8, Netflix, right? So Sense8, they have it as people are naked, people are doing full frontal.
Yeah, but that's a premium paid for channel. But Sci-Fi is not a premium channel, but you still pay for it. So it seems like there should be some rules and stuff that they could get around some of that stuff. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
But they still seem very family-oriented.
Yeah, it's sci-fi. We're talking about...
And I don't know what the demographic is. I'm sure it's mostly male.
Oh, yeah.
18 to 45 or so thereof.
Yeah.
So. Okay. If y'all watch it, let me know what you think. Or if you've seen it, let me know your reviews on it. Because I really like the show. Now we're going on to the bazaar. I like this one. I really like this one. And y'all should go to the website and watch the video. Drugged man strips down... flees into the sea in a bizarre standoff with Queensland police. Now, this happened down under. A 26-year-old Hati, and that's my words, stripped down and fled into the bay at Sandgate after a bizarre two-hour standoff with the Queensland police. Residents called for help after they saw the man driving erratically along Flinders Parade, swerving towards cyclists and other cars. There was two cops, and the guy was driving with his door open like the whole time, and he was almost teasing them. "That's what we thought," a witness said. The man sideswiped a police car before jumping from his own movie car that continued to roll and hit a van. It is believed the driver was on drugs. After he fled into the water, police tried to coax the man to shore. When he didn't cooperate, the police and trained negotiators were called in. Senior Sergeant Tony O'Neill said the man was quite all over the place. He was also quite half-naked by this time. He didn't seem to know where he was and kept asking what suburb he was in, he said. The strip is usually packed with families enjoying their Sunday morning, and police say they are grateful weather keep the crowds away. Eventually, the 26-year-old surrendered and walked from the water straight into the hands of the police, but they were not taking any chances. Flanked by more than a dozen officers, the man was walked to the road where he was handcuffed. He was taken to the Red Cliff Hospital and was later charged with a number of offenses. So, if y'all have not seen the video yet, go to the Gay Geek Bazaar page and watch it.
Yeah.
Because he is quite a woofy hot man.
Woofy.
Doesn't look 26. He looks a little bit older because he's bald headed, got a beard, and all muscle.
What do you mean woofy? Woofy is for bears.
He is hot.
Okay.
Maynard, you might even do it.
Really?
Yes.
I'll be the judge of that.
You might have been like, pull your pants down and bent over and said, come into my bay, enter my bay.
Uh-huh.
So here's the question. Also along this, we've had another video of a guy posted where he stripped down naked and went to order coffee at a coffee house.
Okay.
And it was because it was a dare or a bet, they say. So, Maynard, how far would you go on a dare or losing a bet?
I won't. I'm not that.
You wouldn't get naked and go order coffee?
I will not get naked. Oh, I see now your picture. Oh, my God. He is hot. Oh, my God. You are right, Ray. I would do him. Anyway,
I would do him.
The Queensland police. Anyway, yeah.
We agree on one.
Yes, that's right. I didn't know you would do this guy. So, anyway, yeah, I would not. But give me $1 million, probably I'd walk around naked, yes. No, not a million. Give me how much?
10, but if 000. You lose a bet or take it on a dare.
Oh, no.
So, truth or dare, you wouldn't play that game?
No, I won't. I'm not that great. So, would you? You lost a bet. What kind of a bet, though?
I haven't really lost a bet like that because I don't get myself into stupid situations like that. Yeah. So
I know people who are like that. Well, if it's betting for money, and but anyway, they have a story about that. But anyway, so yeah, if I don't know, I'm not. I probably just laugh at it. I just don't bet that.
Well, the guy in the video is very cute too. So watch the video from Ugly Guys Club, and watch the guy strip down and go into the coffee store. He has a very nice bootay. So,
have you ever? You were mentioning about bets. So, have you ever bet with anyone that involved something that you have to do something really that you didn't like to want to do?
No, because like I said, I don't do stupid stuff like that because I always lose. So, if I bet anything, it's maybe a dollar or two,
yeah,
or maybe $10 at the most on something. But I'm not a big bettor.
There was
because Lady Luck does not shine on me.
There was one time that I did bet. It was more of a geeky bet, meaning, hey, is this program going to work or not? I say it would work. He said, no, it won't. And then we put in $20. And then he thought it's not going to work. And then when we ran the program, it said it worked. So I won. So, okay, I'm taking the dollar. And he wouldn't let me. He wouldn't let me take the money.
So he's a renigger.
What do you call that?
A renigger on the bet.
Oh, he reneged. Okay.
Reneged the bet.
So what do you do with that? I mean,
that's when you call it set his pants on fire.
Oh, really?
Liar, liar, set your pants on fire. Because you reneged on your bet.
I mean, that's a...
He would have been kicked out of my world.
Oh, yeah.
Can't deal with you. Sorry, go. No, go.
I mean,
you
if I...
You bet do, and you reneged on it, get out.
If I do bet like that, I would gladly give it away. But not that kind. If it's money, sure, okay. But getting naked in front of someone or in front of... First of all, I don't want to get arrested.
Because I think some people get off on doing stuff like that too because they're exhibitionists. So, and they're more out there to do crazy stuff like that.
Didn't we do that before?
I have other crazy issues, not that kind.
I remember doing that at, you know, Strip Naked, Strip Cards Against Humanity. We did it before, and one of the dares was, you have, before I give you this card, you know, those people who want to you need two cards so you can negate a being naked or something like that. So he only needed one card. He can get it from someone else. But then to do that, he has to do a dare. So we had one run around, and, you know, we were in a hotel. So we had him run around the hallway for about, you know, a minute or 2 minutes, just run around. So unfortunately, nobody saw him. Yeah. So it was funny. But yeah, that's pretty much the extent of bets that I would do. I just don't, like you, I don't like putting myself in such kinds of positions.
So,
okay, so that's it for the show, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And a happy belated birthday to Caesar. Thank you very much for your support for us. And maybe we should have him in the show next time.
Caesar.
It's 20 episodes already. We haven't had a guest yet, except for Julio. And who else would we have? Oh, we had Jim Stevenson. Yep. So anyway, so that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening, guys. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. You can also see all of our articles on facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre.
Yes, all in one word. And you can also follow us there on Facebook and Twitter, and also listen to the show on SoundCloud. We haven't been updating SoundCloud, but you can listen to us on Google Play and iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye, guys.
Get naked.